We're here on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan. This is about 15 lines up from the bottom. The first words are Ad L'Mochar. We're continuing the stories of this Agadat. Rabbi Yochanan told us the following story. Zimnin Chada, one time, Havi Ka'azlina V'Sfinasa. We were traveling in a boat. V'Chazinon Lahu Kavra. We saw this gigantic fish. The Afgele Reshe Miyama, that lifted up his head out of the water. Vidomyon Ene Kisre Sihari. And his light, the eye, a single eye of the fish, was shining forth like the light of the moon. Vinafuts Maya Mitarti Zimni. And water was coming out from its two nostrils, Kisre Mavri de Suri, like two rivers of Sura. Rav Safra Mishtoi, Rav Safra told us the story, Zimn Chadavi Kazlina Bisfinas, when we were going in a boat, Chazinon Lahu Kavra, we saw a fish, the Afke Lereshe Miyama, lifted its head from the water, Vahavi Le Karne, and it had horns, V'chokek alei, and on the horns it was engraved, Ana Bria Kala Shebiyam. I am one of the smaller fish in the sea. V'havena Tlasmea Parsi. And it was 300 parsos large. V'azilna Lefuma Deliviosa. And I am going as food into the mouth of the Livyosan, for the Livyosan's daily diet of food. So imagine this gigantic fish that's going to be eaten up, and it's just one day's food for the Livyosan. Omer of Ashiyahu Iza Diyamahu. That fish is kind of like the goat of the sea. And about this goat, we could say that the Gemara in Chulin, we mentioned it the other day, that kol sheyesh bayabasha yesh bayam. Whatever you find on dry land, you'll find something parallel in the sea, with the exception of the chulda. Divchisha. Divchisha means she digs. Vi islay karna. And just like the goat digs, it also has horns that helps it seek out its prey. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtoi, Rabbi Yochanan again tells the story. Zim Nechadav Kazlina Bisfinas. We were on the boat. V'chazina lahi kartalisa. We saw in the water some sort of large treasure chest. Dahavakah. Mikboiba, that they were set in this chest, Avonim Tovos Umargolios, precious stones and pearls, Vahadrile Mine, surrounding this chest of precious stones, that's Hadrile Mine, were Kavre, with these fish, Demakre Karsha, that was called a Karsha. Nochis, who went down to try to retrieve these precious jewels, and here we're turning to the fine Dalet Amud Beis, Bar Amoroi, a person who is an expert at sea diving, La'atuye, in order to bring forward this treasure chest of from the water, to raise it up from the water, v'rogash, and the fish all of a sudden started shaking out of anguish. Uboy lishmete liamte. Wow, and he desired to cut off the thigh of this diver, this Bar Amoi. Ushto zika dechal v'nochas. And this Bar Amoi, in self-defense, threw on the fish a flask of vinegar, or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, chol misfas hayom, the sand from the seashore, ubarach adom machmas recho, and because of the strong odor of the vinegar, if we go back to the Rashbam's pshat, the fish flew away. V'yorad shuv habaramoy limshoch es argaz. Now the baramoy goes back down in order to retrieve this treasure chest. What happens now? Nofik baskola. A heavenly voice comes out from Shamayim v'yomerlon and declares, "My islichu bahadi kartalisa." What shaychus? What connection do you have to take this beautiful treasure chest? The debisu, which is designated for the wife of the Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. And this argaz is full of treasures that will be that are designated as a reward for her in the world to come. That's how the Marsha interprets it. In other words, there already was indications from the fish that they should not be taking this argaz, this basket, this treasure chest, but now the Baskel tells us exactly why. The Asida Leshadya Tchelta Bal at Sadike Liol Mediasi. In the future, down the line, she will put into this basket, in this treasure chest, the chute tcheles, the strings of tcheles, which she will prepare for the tzitzios of the tzaddikim bi'olam haba. And here you could see a discussion in the Rosh, Sagos Maimonius, even brought down the Bir Aloch, the Mishnah Berurah, and Siman Lamites about whether or not a woman can create tzitzis. Here it seems that she, the wife of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, will be making tzitzis for the tzaddikim liosid lava. Now, can we prove from this sugya that mitzvahs will still be in place, will still be valid and obligatory in the world to come? That's a discussion here in Tosfos Daf Ayin Aleph, also in the Rashash, the Iyun Yaakov. Rabbi Yehuda Hindua. Rabbi Yehuda came from the land of Kush, of Hindu. Mishtoi, he tells the following story. Zimn Chadav Azlin Visfinosa. I was traveling in a boat. Vechazinon Lahu Evan Tovar. I saw a beautiful stone, a precious stone in the water. Dahavi Hadir Le Tanina. And there was this gigantic fish called the Tanin that was circulating around this beautiful stone, swimming around and around. Nochis bar armoy lasuye, and this professional diver goes down to try to get the precious stone and retrieve it from the water. Osa tanina, the tanin comes along, kaboy lemivlala lesvinasa, and is interested in swallowing the boat. And Rabbi Yehuda tells the story because he was in the boat. Asa pishkansta. Now some sort of a female raven comes, poske lereshe, and cuts off the head of this gigantic tanin. And so much blood comes out of this dead tanin. Is hapichu maya v'havidama. The entire water, this river of water, changed its color from white or transparent to blood, to red. Asa tanina chavre. Now another tanin comes along, a friend, a colleague, shakle, and it takes this stone, this very precious stone, vitaliale, and applies it to the tanin, the dead tanin v'chaya. And as a result, the tanin relives again. Hadar asa kaboy bolol svinasa. And now the tanin goes back and wants to swallow up the boat. We were in the boat. Hadar asa tzipora, and now some sort of gigantic bird comes along, and Paskil Reish, again, cuts off the head of the Tanin. So now at this point, the Tanin is liquidated, neutralized. Shaklu Alahi Evan Tova. And we were able to take this special stone, this magical stone, out of the water. Shadua Lisvinasa. We threw it into the boat. Havihani Tzipori Malichi Badan. We had on the boat birds that we had salted them for eating. Osivna Alaihu. We put the Evan on top of them to see if they would come back to life. And that's exactly what happened. They came out to life. Shaklu Uparchulu Bada. And they took the stone and they flew away with it. So at the end of the day, this magical life-giving stone that's able to resurrect from the dead is lost to us because the birds took it away. How sad. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa, B'Rav Elezer, Rabbi Yeshua Shayubayim B'Sfina, V'Hoya Rabbi Elezer, Yashen, Rabbi Yeshua Neyar. I guess for security reasons, one person would take a rest while the other one was awake. Vizdazea is Miloshon Charada, Yira. He started shaking Rabbi Yeshua. Veninar Rabbi Eliezer, and as a result, Rabbi Eliezer woke up. Amarlo Mazel Yeshua. Mifneiman is Dazata. Why are you shooken up? Amarlo Ma'ar Golover Isi Bayam. I saw this unbelievable light in the sea, and I'm afraid maybe it's a wave that's coming to flood the boat. And the Gemara back on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph mentioned High Gol de Mitbol Esfina, mentioned already about a dangerous wave that had to be neutralized with a staff that was written with Shemus on it, and so forth and so on. Amalo, in order to calm down Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer said to him, Shema Einav Shel Livyasan Ra'isa. You saw the eyes of the Livyasan, Dichsiv. And here we go to the Pasuk in Eov, Einav Ke'afap'e Shachar. Its eyes shine and radiate like the Bekias Ar HaShachar, like the breaking of the radiant rays of the dawn, of the morning. This is the R, this is the light that you saw, there's no danger. Omar Rabbi Ashi, Omar Lihuna Barnason, Zimnechada Havakaz, Lina Bimidbara, once we were on the way, traveling through the desert, Vahavi Atma de Bisra Badan, we had with us a thigh of meat, Pesachna Vinak Rina, Pesachna means we opened the thigh, and the reason for that is to do what's called nikur, to take out the chelev and the ginanosha that have to be removed. Va'anachna, and we placed it down a isbe on the vegetation, the growing of asovim. Asovim, I guess, are grass. So we laid down the meat on the grass. Ademaisinon tzive, we wanted to go ahead and cut down some wood for logs for the campfire to fry this piece of meat. Cholam atma. It's unbelievable. All the different pieces of meat that we had sliced became one, just as they were before we started the process of nikur. Utvinan. And we were able to fry this yerech, this thigh, and through tzli, we were able to be machshir it for achila. Ki hadron lebosa treisa yarchi shata, and we came back 12 months later, chazinu lahanu gumri dehavako malachashe. We saw that the campfire, the coals of the campfire that we had, you know, where we had fried this meat, was still lochashos. You know, there was still some fire in them. Ki asoi lekame de amemar, And Ravashi testifies that when I came to Amemar and I presented to him this whole story, Omar Li, Haihu, Isba, that grass is Samtere, Hava. It's something called Samtere. Again, it's hard to say what the word Samtere means, other than what it says here in the Rashbam, and a little bit more in the Marsha, that Samtere means a magical drug that has the ability to take pieces of meat and unify them into one. So therefore, Samtere means a sam is like a drug, and tere means two, to take two and make it into one. And Hanu Gumri Derismahavi, and those gicholim, those coals that after 12 months are still alive, are Gumri Derisma, gicholim shall eitz rotem. And they have a tremendous heat. They don't go out very quickly. On the fifth day of creation, the Torah says, "Vayivra l'kimas ha-taninim ha-gdolim." God created these creatures that are very large, called taninim. And the next part of the pasuk says, "Veskol nefesh ha-chaya haromeses asher sortzu ha-mayim." Now, taninim are included in nefesh chaya, but nevertheless, the Torah goes out of its way to point out taninim, especially. It must be that these are very unique creatures, very large and unique creatures that are not included in Nefesh Chaya insofar as they're unique, and therefore they're mentioned unto themselves. And here we're going to have a machlokes, what exactly these taninim are. Now, the language of the Torah is Vayivra Elokim, that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch and his creation is Elokim. That's called Haflogas Godel Gufam. And that means Elokim is this mighty, is the might of God, and he created. And Vayivra Elokim means mighty creatures in this particular context. Is Hocha Targimu, here in Bavel, they interpret Taninim as what? As Arzile Diyama, these are the Re'em of the sea, which are extremely large, physically large. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ze Livyasam. This is the male Livyasam. And if I can describe to you the male Livyasam, it would be like a Nachash Kibariach. You know, there's a certain kind of a snake that stands up, like a cobra, right? And Livyasan, but the female Livyasan is similar to a Nachash HaKalason, you know, a snake that swiggles on the ground, goes all the way around, and travels through the entire world. And as a result of this propensity of the Nachash HaKalason, I should say, is it's able to machmas orko monomakos, it's able to set itself up as a separate category in creation and deserve special attention, is mentioned in the pasuk. And Rabbi Yochanan wants to bring support to this statement that the Gemara offers about the Livyasan, the male, the Taninim Gedolim, which is the male and the female, the Livyasan male that's called Nochash Bariach, female Livyasan, which is called Nochash Akalason. Shenemar, says Rabbi Yochanan, I have a proof from the Pasuk, Payomahu Yifkor Hashem Becharbo Hakoshe, Al Livyasan Nochash Bariach ve'alivyason nochash akaloson ve'horeges atanin asher bayom. Yochanan quotes this pasuk in Yeshayo Novi, which is a prophecy about Melchemes Gog u'Magog, and the Livyason that he mentions in this pasuk, because it says al livyason nochash etc., is a remez, a mashal for the Malchei Umos HaOlam HaChazakim. These are the powerful kings of the nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will destroy them Becharbo HaKoshe VeChazak with his strong and mighty sword. And the pasuk ends by describing the Leviathan as either a Nochash Bariach or Nochash Akalason. And those two are the male and the female Leviathans, respectively. Now, there seems to be a machlokas here between Rabbi Yochanan and the Metargamim in Bavel. Why do I say that? Because the sugya earlier on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis that we did yesterday speaks about the pasuk of Tainin and Gdolim referring to the size of the body, and it's the Re'em of the sea, which is very large in its size. And then there's a Re'em on the Abasha, which is as large as the Har Tabor. And that parallels the Tanin in the sea, which is equally large as that Re'em. So the Pshat of Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, is that the Pasuk is not speaking about the large size of the physical body, but rather al-orko. Not the great size of the goof, but rather al-orko. And therefore it says that this is referring to the Leviathan, and that's why the Pasuk says Bariach, that its orech is like Mavriach mikotze echad shalom ad kotzeu. Its length travels the entire world. Now the Gemara offers Simon Kol Sha'a Yardain Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. And again, this is a simon to the following three statements of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in his world is going to be created male and female. And finally, he's going to talk about the Yardin that goes out of a ma'ora called Pamayis. In any event, Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo zochar nekeva baram. It seems like he's including even fruits and trees, they all have their male and female counterparts. And all this was done so that there would be no need to create anything else besides these creatures. And not only that, Lahoro She'ein Yochid Ba'olam Ela Echad Yochid Umyuchad. That there's really only one existence in the world, one special unique existence, and that's Hashem, who is the Yochid, the Echad, the Yochid Miuchad. He creates the Nekeva, even though he knows that later on he's going to destroy the Nekeva. But nevertheless, there has to be such a creation. And all this creation is to show, despite the greatness of creation, there's something above the creation, and that's the Creator. Now, Af Leviathan, the Leviathan also divides up into male and female, Nochash Bariach, V'Leviathan Nochash Akalason, which is Zohar Nekeva Baram. So we have the Nochash Bariach, which is male, the Nochash Akalason, which is female, and if they would have the ability to procreate these two great Leviathans, then machrivim kol ha'olam, they would be so large and so many that they would just destroy the entire world. So ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu seres es ha'zachar, he castrated the male Leviathan, v'haragan keva, and he slaughtered the female Leviathan, umalacha letzadikim lasid lavo, and he salted its meat for the tzadikim as a reward in the future days. And again, we're not talking about something physical, because you know, the Suda for the Tzaddikim is much more spiritual. These are all metaphors in a very esoteric way. Shenema, where do we see this in the Pasuk? This is in Yeshayah. Bayomahu Yifkar Hashem Becharbo Al Livyosan Nochash Pariyaf Al Livyosan Nochash Akalosan Velhore Esatanin Asher Bayam. In other words, there's a shinui here in the Pasuk. The language of the Pasuk changes itself. Initially it said Yifkod, which is in the future tense, and then it says Velhorag, which is in the past tense. And what we mean is that Yifkod means Hashem in the future will take his cherev, hakosha, and he will slaughter the Livyasan, Liyasid Lavo, in the same way that he slaughtered the Nikeva right after he created it. V'af behemos bahare Aleph. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. So we're talking about a certain kind of a massive behemoth. This is called the Sharabar. And there's nothing on the face of the earth that's greater, that's larger than this ox, than this Sharabar. I guess it's even larger than an elephant. Maybe it's larger than a whale. I don't know. But in any event, this behemoth is sustained with grazing land of a thousand mountains. Wow. Then it says, Zachar Nekeva Baram, Hashem created both a male behemoth and a female behemoth. Vilmolid is cock himself. They would have procreation. So Yimachriv and Kol Olam Kulo. Their manifold creations, or I should say, vlados, would destroy the world. Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu Seres HaZachar. He castrated the male, and we're talking about this gigantic behemoth. But then, what about the female? Vitzinein hanekeva, and cooled off the nekeva so that it shouldn't any longer have a desire to have relations with a male. Ushmoral et tzaddikim lasid love. Once again, the meat of this massive behemoth Bahare Aleph is going to be spared. I'm sorry, it's going to be preserved for the tzaddikim as a reward, lasid lavo, because also the Kodesh Baruch Hu lasid tzaddikim seudel et tzaddikim mibsar shel levyasam, and also now mibsaram shel behemazu bahari elef. And behemos asher sisi imach, the pasuk says in Iyov, hine na kocho bimasnav, the power of procreation, ze zachar, and the pasuk here, when it says hine no kocho b'masnav, is referring to the zachar. And why does it have so much power? Because lo izriya me'olam, it never actually implemented that power. The ono bishrire vitno, and the rest of the pasuk is zonikeva, is referring to the female who never gave birth. Both of them still have their power. Shamur, preserved within them. And this would be a proof to Rabbi Yehuda that these minim of behemos, lo paru v'ravu me'olam, they never procreated. So the pasuk in Iyov is really quoted here as a source to support the claim that Zachar unekeva Brahm, which in turn is a support for the original statement of Yehuda Marav, Kol Mashabar Kodesh Baruch V'Olam Zachar Nekevahem Brahm. And now we're going to ask the question, why is it that in the case of the Levyasan, the female was shechted and the male was castrated? In the case of the Behema, Bahari Elef, the male was castrated, but the female was cooled off, but let alive and well. Why do you use the tzinun HaKadosh Baruch with regard to the behema nekeva, not with regard to the livyasa nekeva? Dogim pritze. Because what's unique about fish is that, and that's why the livyasa, the female livyasa, had to be removed, is that prutzim heim, they are very eager to procreate, even more than animals, and tzinun would not be sufficient in order to prevent their being poravarova. So he had to kill the nekeva, the levyasan, because of the propensity of the fish to be prutzim, and tzinun would not be effective, masha enkein, but in the case of behemoths, they're not so prutzim, they're a little bit more dedicated to some sort of a loyalty. And therefore, if they're not prutzim, daylem betzinun. As long as you cool them off and they don't have the sexual appetite, that's enough to control. Now, you may ask, of course, if you've already castrated the male, you've already clinched your goal, your objective, that there's no possibility of procreation here. Why do you have to cool off the female? And the answer is because the female also has this desire, and that's not fair because it has no mate, and therefore the desire of the female is cooled off. The Gemara now goes back and asks some Rabbi Yudav Eliavid Ipcha, why not kill the Livyasan Zohar and castrate the female so the female can't produce? That would achieve the same goal. And the Gemara offers two answers. Ebay's Ema, one answer could be Nekeva Malicha Male. In the case of the Nekeva salting the meat and preserving it for the Sudas Tzaddik and Lasid Love is much more feasible. Whereas in the case of the Basar of the Zohar, it's not so feasible. Ebay's Ema, second answer, Kevan Dechsiv. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes HaKadosh Baruch, again, this is all mystical and symbolic, but playing Mesachik Ima Livyasan, Kedeksiv, Livyasan Zeyot Sarti Lesachik Bi, is Bahadi Nekeva Lav Orach Ara. It would not be Derech Eretz to mention that HaKadosh Baruch is Kilu Mesachik with the Nekeva. So therefore it says Zohar. And the Ben Ish Chai points out that even though this schok that's mentioned here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesachik with the Levyasan, is all a moshal, it's a dimyon, it's a shtalshus hashefa, it's something that comes from all the way above, and it's not physical, it shouldn't be understood literally, but nevertheless, it's not derech eretz in the moshal itself to mention the kever. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the Zohar alive, so that the marshal would be on the Livyasan, Zeyot Sarto Lesachik Bo, would refer to the Zohar, which was left alive. Hachinami Lemilcha Lenekeva. Now the Gemara spoke about the Basa Nekeva, which is much better when it's salted and it's preserved for a long period of time. Now the Gemara goes back and asks the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch, why didn't he kill the nekeva of the shara bar, rak tzinino, instead he just cooled it off, hachanami lemilcha nekeva. And the Gemara answers, kavra milicha male. In the case of fish in the sea, it's better if you salt them, and they can last a heck of a long time. But bisra milicha, but if you salt meat, is lo male. If you hold on to it for a long period of time, it's not going to help. It's not like biltong. The Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, at the beginning, God created the world. It was full of water, and the earth was actually submerged in the water. And this is all based on the Medrash. U'bishah shebikei shekadosh baruch hu livra olam, when God decided to create the world and to expose the dry land on the earth. And the pasuk says, "Yikavu hamayim itachas hashamayim el makom echad v'teirabi abasha." Is Omar lo lesar shel yam? Oh, now we have something called a sar shel yam. This is the officer to which is delegated the control and the discipline the waters of the seas of the earth. is psach pichu bala kol memos shavolam. That the way we, the best method of exposing the dry land is if you, as the Saros Shel Yam, will open your mouth and swallow all the waters in the world. Then we'll see the Abosha. Again, there's Ben Yehoyada, has something to say about this, but Omar, so the Sar Shel Yam comes forward, Lufanim, and he says in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Dai She'emod B'Shali. In other words, I have to leave enough space for me, for all the waters that I dominate over, and I can be machzik them in order that it shouldn't exceed its maximum capacity, but by swallowing up all the waters, I prevent them from breaking out of their limited bounds. How can I take in extra water now? You want me to swallow in more water? I don't have the ability to do so. And Miyad Bad Bakash Bahu was completely anguished by this rebellion of the Sar Shel Yam to do exactly as he was told to do. Vaharogu, and God took its air out, the air of life, the breath of life. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, contracts the space, the nofach of this Sar Shel Yam. Now, by doing so, there's a lot of empty space in the carcass, so to speak, of the Sar Shel Yam, and as a result, there's enough space for all the waters of the world to enter. And if we have time, we'll go through a few comments of the Medrash, Rabbah here, and we'll talk about these nodos nefuchos. You know, this is unbelievable here. Shedemar, the pasuk in Iov al niflaos of Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu says the following: Bekocho roga hayom ubisfunaso mochatz rohav. With his power, he calms down and breaks the waters of the sea, la'omek atom, to the depths of the bowels of the earth, and kasher, and with his tfuna, mochatz, he crushed Vaharig, and he killed Rahav, the Saros Shalamayim. Omar Rav Yitzchak, Shmamino Saros Shalyam Rahav Shmo. From this pasuk in Iov, it becomes clear that the name of the Sar Shel Yam is Rahav. Be'ilmole mayim chasim oso, if not for the fact that the Yam itself is mechase, this Rahav ein kol bir yichol lamod berecho. The carcass of the Sar Shel Yam had such a stench that it would be impossible to tolerate it. Shenemar, as it says, Lo yeru v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kodshi kamayim layom mechasim. Al tikri layom mechasim el sara shel yam mechasim. That the reason why this smell, this foul odor is not in existence is because the mayim cover over this carcass in such a way that it doesn't have that terrible odor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu osa oso kibal chai mamish shemasriach b'misoso. In other words, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a sar and he gives it a almost like an animal figure form in order to publicize the power of this heavenly creature. We wonder whether or not this sirachon that we're talking about has something, at least symbolically, to do with the chet hakadmon. I don't know. Just thinking out loud. In any event, Om Rav Yehuda Marav Hayarden Yotzi Mimoras Pamyos. There's a great cave which is near the city of Dan, and that's where the Yarden, which is the major river that surrounds Eretz Yisrael, it originates in this Ma'oras Pamyos. Tanya Nami Hoch, we went to the Brisa Yarden Yotze Mi Ma'oras Pamyos. And it goes around the Mahalich. It goes all over Eretz Yisrael, surrounding the land. Now, Mahalech, when we say it goes around the land of Israel, this Lechora contradicts what the Gemara is going to say later on, that the Nahoros are not Makif Eretz Yisrael, but maybe Nar Yarden is different insofar as it's the Rosh Linahoros. It's the head chief Nar. No. And then it says, Biyoma shall Sivchi Ubiyoma shall Tverye Umizgal Viorid Liyoma Godol Umizgal Viorid Achmagila Piv shall live Yosam. And this Yarden River goes eastward of Sivchi and the Yam of Tveria, and then it sort of wraps around and goes down to the Yam Gadol, which we call the Mediterranean today. Umizgal v'yored achmagilipiv shal yilvyosan. Ultimately, it ends in the mouth of the Livyosan, as the pasuk says in Eov, Yiftach ki yagiach yarden al piu. The Livyosan is absolutely calm because and feels secure because the Mei Yarden go into its mouth. They fall into its mouth. Maskif la Rava bar Ula hai bibehemos behare elef ksiv. In the pasuk right before it, it says hine na behemos asher sisi imach, and the pasuk is talking about that bitachon in the Mea Yarden, not in the Livyasan. How can you tell me that Yivtach in the pasuk, the security of the Livyasan is because of the Mea Yarden, when it seems that from the pasuk itself that the bitachon of the Mea Yarden is because of the behemos, not because of the Livyasan, which is a fish. Elomar Rava bar Ula, rather the pasuk is referring to behemos. And it means a mosa behemos bari elef bituchos. When are these mammoth behemos absolutely secure that they won't die? Bisman she megiach yarden befiv shel livyosan. As long as the waters of the Yarden are rolling downwards into the mouth of the livyosan, as long as the livyosan is alive, then we also can be secure that we will remain alive. The Marsha explains, based on the Medrash, that in the future there's going to be this major collision, this battle between the Livyasa and the Behemos Bari Elef, and the Behemos are going to attack the Livyasa and Bekarnov. In other words, these are the Karnayim that are going to be used by the Behemos to attack the Livyasa. As long as the waters of the Yarden are feeding into the mouth of the Livyasan, that's okay. But if they will somehow fall, the waters will fall with a tremendous power into the Karnayim of the Behemos, then how are the Behemos going to attack the Livyasan? All their security is in their Karnayim. And that's what the pasuk means over here. Emosai behemos bahari elef betuchos bizman shmegiach yarden bepiv shel livyosan. In other words, that somehow the behemos are spared from the powerful stream of the Yarden. Ki osar avdimi om Rabbi Yochanan maidich siv regarding Eretz Yisrael. It says ki hu al yam yisoda. Because the beginning of the pasuk says Lashem Aretz Umulo Tevel Yoshvei Barashi says Lashem Aretz means Eretz Yisrael Tevel Shar Arotzos. Now it says Ki Hu Al Yamim Yisoda, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, and What it means is V'al Nahoris Yichoneneha Elu Shivas Shiva Yamim V'arba Nahoros. These are all close, established close proximity to Eretz Yisrael, Makisha Makifenes Eretz Yisrael, and they surround Eretz Yisrael. So what are the Shiva Yamim and what are the four Naharos? V'eleim Shiva Yamim. Number one, we have Yom HaShel Tveria. It's what we call Yam Kineres. Number two, we have Yom HaShel Sdom. And that's perhaps Yam HaMelach. So we have both. The Kineret and the Dead Sea. Then we have Yom HaShel Chelas. Yom HaShel Chelasa. Chelasa apparently I could say is Akko, so we're up in the north now. V'yam HaShel Sivchi. V'yam Aspamya. V'yam HaGodol. Fine. So we have now these seas, which are Sivchi, Aspamya, and the Yamagor, which I assume is Mediterranean, Ve'elin Arba, Naharos, Yardin, Ve'yarmuch, Ve'kiromion, Ufiga. And these are the rivers that flow from Eretz Yisrael. There are sources in Eretz Yisrael that are mentioned in the Mishnah in Parah. And in the Aruch it says that Kiromion, Ufiga, these are the same rivers that are mentioned in Sefer Melachim under a different name, Amna Uparper. And these were rivers in Damascus. Ki Asar Avdimi Omer Rav Yonasan Asid Gavriel. Now we're talking about the Malach of Gavriel, who's always associated with Midas Adin, like the Gemara says in Sota Bo Gavriel, V'chavtan Bekarka. He's the one who implements justice and punishment. Bo Gavriel Lafoch Esdom, the Gemara tells us above Metzia. And the language, the word, the syntax of the etymological meaning of Gavriel is Miloshan Givura. Givura is always associated with Midas Adin. And Osid Gavriel, what it's going to refer to here, is to do the Milchama with the Livyasan and defeat the Livyasan with the help of Hashem. That's the Midah of Din, of meeting out punishment. So Osid Gavriel Lasos. And here we turn to Daf Ayin Hey Man Aleph. Knigaya, which is the Aramaic of El Molchama Im Livyasan, and it's going to capture the Livyasan, and it's going to use a keshes and a romach, you know, some sort of an arrow shot with a spear. Shenemar, as it says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Eov, speaking about the Gvura, the power of the Livyasan, HaSimshoch Livyasan Bechaka Ubechevel Tashkil Lishono, which in Hebrew means V'chiyochal Ato Limshoch Es HaLivyasan Min HaMayim Bechaka Ubechevel Shetashkia Biyam Kidela Tsudo. And these are different ways of capturing the Livyasan that's in the water. But anyway, it's Masha from this that Al Af Shelo Nitan LeIov Hakoch LeNatzcho Livyasan, even though Eov was not empowered with the ability of defeating the Livyasan, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, in the future, stand in a battle against the Livyasan and defeat the Livyasan. And the Gemara adds now, Vilmoli HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro, if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping the Gvura of Gavriel, Ein Yochalo. There's no way that Gavriel could defeat the Livyasan, Shenemar, Ha'oso Yagesh Charbo. Which in Hebrew means Ha'oses HaLivyasan, Dainu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'atzmo Yagish Elov Charbo LaHakos Nafesh. So Yagish Charbo in this pasuk in Eov is an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who's going to use his sword to kill the Livyasan. Now this pasuk really is referring to Behemos Bahari Elef, If you take a look at Pasuk Tezvav, and the same thing has to apply to Levyosam, the Marsha adds that it's a kolshkin. Levyosam is much larger. It's afloga bibriyoso than the behemos bari elef. And therefore, in the description of the world, the Levyosam is described as a separate entity. And if it says regarding to the behemos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself will come and shecht the behemos, then how much more so will he have to spear the Levyosam and overwhelm the Levyosam? Now, in this whole concept of killing the Levyosam, there are many different midrashim, and they're not always easy to reconcile. The Yalkut Shimoni and Eov says that Losid Lavo, there'll be a battle, as we mentioned early, between the Levyosam and the behemos Bahari Elef, and they'll kill each other. And we find something similar in the Tanchuma, but it means that the death of Levyosam will be at the hands of the behemos Bari Elef, not at the hands of HaKadosh Baruch. But in our sugya, it seems like HaKadosh Baruch is killing Levyosam. And again, the Mefarshim try to reconcile this. If you take a look at the Marsha, you take a look at the Maral. Now, in Akdamus, there's a long description here of what's going to happen Liosid Lavo to the Levyosam. It's in very heavy Aramaic. It might pay to take out an English translation of Akdamus Milin and go through it. In any event, we're going to stop here. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, that's what we're up to here on the top of Daf Ayin Hayam and Aleph. And Amir Tzem, we hope to continue in the next year.